Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Survivor Jobs, a podcast in collaboration with Broadway World. I am your host, Jason A. Coombs, and this is my amazing, wonderful, I could list like a thousand superlatives about how amazing she is, but my co-host, Samantha Dawn Titzelow.
Wowza. Samantha. I haven't heard the word superlatives in a really long time. Thank you for bringing that back, Jason.
Throwback, right?
Throwback. Majorly throwback Thursday, because it's Thursday when this is out. So
we missed 2 weeks and we're back. How exciting.
Yes. Hello, everyone. So sorry about the missing of the 2 weeks. Mostly my fault, just being honest.
Not really.
No,
we could all use a break.
We could all use a break. I'm coming in hot from my new Brooklyn apartment. You know, we were recording from Hell's Kitchen, but now we're here in Brooklyn. And this is why the missing of the episodes, because moving is a lot, right? If I could just take the floor, moving is a lot. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of things and boxes and all that, but also it's really mentally draining. It's super emotional. You know, I think as we're getting older too, like when I was younger in my first 2 years of New York, I feel like I bopped around. I had like four different apartments and then I stayed in one apartment for 6 years before the pandemic. So I don't know. It was just like, that was my home and that was my space and that was my neighborhood. Oh my God, I might cry. It's all good. You know, change is hard. I'm happy about my move. My new room is beautiful. I'm in a great neighborhood. Like, things are good. Nothing is wrong. It's just, you know, change is hard and emotional. So in conclusion, I needed the 2 weeks. So thank you, everyone. And we're back. We're coming back hot.
Coming back hot. Thank you.
What's your temperature check? Yes, of course. Always.
It's so funny because like this is coming out on Thursday, so I'll be in Vegas, but I'm going to Vegas for a couple of days. So I'm like in the middle of packing and trying to get ready. And like, I'm about to go get a little haircut because I'm feeling like, you know, I'm not looking fresh for Vegas. So it's like, so
you
much
always
happening.
Look fresh.
Oh, you're so sweet. Gassing me up like that. But I appreciate that. But I'm just feeling a little like happy to go away, a little anxious. I always say it's like a heavy time, but I feel like it just didn't ever get lighter. It's just like, we've just been in like this heaviness and it's like, okay, when is it going to get better? But anyway.
I think it's called being in your 30s, by the way. I think it's just like a circle of like, oh my God, this is so great. And then it's like, oh shit, we have bills and this and that, you know, I think it's just life. Yeah. I think it's just the journey of life, babe.
Yeah, but I can't let this be my journey forever. I can't be like...
Got it.
I need to like be more zen. You know, I need to find that true zenness because like I can't be going through life this like anxious. So, you know, just some things I got to figure out.
Listen, I just started really actively going to yoga. I've always sort of gone to yoga on and off, but I've been trying to go weekly now. And it is such a good time for my mind.
Good,
if I may recommend... to just chill and like do some stretches. Want to go into child's pose? Go into child's pose. It's all good.
Love that. I'm going to try to do that.
Yes, definitely try yoga. Jason, so this past week I saw A Doll's House on Broadway, starring Jessica Chastain, among others. So I just wanted to give that a shout out and tell everyone to run and go see it. It was such a unique theater experience where, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but there was like no costumes. I mean, they're not naked. They're in clothing. They have costumes, but it's all very, I don't know what the word is. Somebody said it to me, but like no props, not a ton of blocking.
Minimalist, right?
Like thank you. Yeah. Very minimalist production, which I feel like I haven't seen one of those in a really long time. And so it was, you had to focus on the text and the acting and the work. And it was such a great theatrical experience. So I hope everyone can run over to the Hudson Theater. I'm so happy. Nice. I just pulled that out of my brain. And
good job.
And thank you so much. And go check it out.
So I just want to shout out that the new Scream movie came out today, the 9th of when this episode drops. And you know me, I'm a huge Scream fan. It's my favorite horror series. And I am trying to, we've been trying to get those guys on our podcast, or like really trying super hard to get them on there. But go see the movie. If you love horror movies, it's getting good reviews and it's super exciting that he made another one. And maybe we'll be in it one day. Right, Samantha? We're going to manifest that.
Always manifesting. Yeah, Jason, you do love Scream. You know what I want to say to you? And what? I don't want you to come at me the same way you come at me when I say I haven't watched The Office, but I don't think I've ever watched Scream. I mean, like clips, but I don't think I've ever sat and said, okay, I'm going to watch one of these Scream movies from start to finish.
We don't really like horror too much, right? You like the drama?
I like the drama. Horror, you like the comedy? Depends. I do like the comedy. Horror depends. It depends how scary it is, because sometimes I'll lay awake at night and like think that the guy from Scream is in bed with me. Like I get weird. Like for example, when I watched The People versus OJ with Sarah Paulson, that miniseries, I used to lock my door at night after I my bedroom door, because I was like, oh my God, OJ's coming for me.
Well, he might be, but
No, that's like a bad example, but that's like me when I watch things and I get into them. I'm like,
oh, I'm the same way, but I lock my bedroom door at night time anyway, no matter what, no matter where I go. I'm like super paranoid of being murdered in my sleep.
If somebody wants to get us, they'll be able to get us. I think that too. When I lock my door, I'm like, somebody could come in here no matter what.
I can hear them first, but
anyway, that just got real. That took a turn, just like in Kimberly. Always takes a turn. So we want everyone to see Doll's House. We want everyone to see Scream. And we also want everyone to see The Wanderers.
Shout out to Lucy.
Currently playing at the Laura Pels Theater. Shout out to Lucy. Jason, this interview. Come on. What an icon.
Good one.
Yes.
We're obsessed with Lucy. And it's so funny. I mean, you'll hear about it because we talk about it very briefly, but we were in the same web series together, Lucy and I, except she said she was like a background performer in it, because like, it was a long time ago. And she said she'd never seen it. So it was so funny. But I was like doing research on it. I'm like, wait, I was in Jake's Unemployment Summer.
Jake's Maybe I'll try to find her. Find the clip and then insert it here.
I don't know what episode. She doesn't even know what episode she's in. There was like 10 episodes, like 30, and they're 30 minutes long. It was like a full production.
Oh, wow. Like
my friend Alan Hayhurst wrote it and directed and starred in it. Yeah. It was a lot of fun, though. But it was like, we shot it in 2015, and it came out in 2016. And it's like a full TV show. Small world. I could not believe that when it said Jake's Unemployment Summer. I was like, what?
Oh, my gosh. That is so good. Another reason why we love this show so much. Star. Literal.
She's a star.
Like, even just talking to her, you know, for transparency, we have not yet seen The Wanderers. We will be going or doing our best to get there. But even just from this interview, I was like, oh, Lucy, you're a star. You know? It just is radiating off of her.
It's true. Some people just really have that energy. It's, like, really incredible to see, like, and I just feel like good things are going to come for her. More good things. Good things are already coming for her.
Correct.
Coming to her, right? Coming for her is a weird way to say that. Coming to her.
Coming for you. Coming for her.
I guess I'm still in that Scream mindset, I guess.
I guess. I mean, we just got deep when we were like, they're going to break into the doors. Like, that was crazy. Yes. Anyway, you guys.
That's why we get along so well, because we're like always like you know, locking our doors at night.
You know, is how to get away with murder, you know, which I've been rewatching, but that's for another episode.
Iconic, iconic. We love Viola.
Iconic. We do love Viola. But anyway, you guys, let's get away from our ADD. I mean, we haven't had a mic check in a while. We have a lot to talk about. We're sorry, but we're also not sorry. Right. Anyway, Lucy's bio. Let's tell you guys a little bit about Lucy. As we said, she's currently starring in The Wanderers as Esther, put on by Roundabout Theater, playing at the Laura Pels Theater. She's a member of Juilliard's BFA drama program, Group 49, the class of 2020. She will make her film debut in the upcoming IFC Films release, Paint, opposite Owen Wilson. She is based in New York City.
Iconic. I can't get over it.
We love New York City.
I love Lucy. Literally. I want to be your friend.
I love Lucy. Do you get it?
Mm-hmm. That's why I said it. Puns.
Anyway, let's just cut to the episode because I'm talking in not English or anything that's making sense. I am speaking in English. That is a fact. I was not that. Goodbye. Enjoy the episode. Jason, have so much fun in Vegas. I can't wait to hear about it. But please be careful. The last time I was in Vegas, I fell down some stairs and I sprained my foot. And I'll send you a photo. You can insert it here if you'd like.
Yeah. I'm so glad that happened to you. Let's hope that doesn't happen to me.
Honestly, it made for a good story. But this is what I just want to let you know. So please be careful.
Thank you.
Enjoy this episode. Enjoy this episode, you guys. Hi, Lucy.
Hi.
Welcome to Survival Jobs, a podcast. We're so excited to be talking with you today. Thank you for coming out to be here. Yeah. So such a small world. Jason, we were just talking about you guys were fully, you have the same credit on your IMDb pages. That's pretty fun.
I was just telling Lucy before we pressed record that I was doing my research, obviously. And I was like, wait, I was in Jake's Unemployment Summer, which you were also like featured, right? Background, you were saying?
I would say more background than featured. Yeah.
That's awesome, though. What a small world.
What was it, like 2014?
I think 2015. I think it came out in 2016. Yeah. I think we filmed in 2015. It's wild. Wild.
Crazy.
Well,
crazy.
I feel like we're like kind of co-stars in a weird way.
Yeah, basically. I would say that. Yeah.
And now you moved on to bigger and better things. Hanging out with homes. Congratulations.
Thank you. No, it's an exciting time.
That is an exciting time. But before we get into all the juicy fun stuff, let's break it down back to Survival Jobs, what the show is all about. And we always start off with this question because it's interesting to hear different point of views. Mm-hmm. So what defines survival job to you? There's no right or wrong.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's just something that like most artists have to do to when they're sort of starting out or like at certain points in their career, just to be able to do the thing that they love. And survive, like be able to pay the rent and buy food.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do you have a favorite survival job that has been a part of your story so far?
I mean, so I graduated from drama school in May of 2020. Not an ideal time to start.
I was just gonna say, like,
graduated into a completely shut down industry. Which was just crazy because, you know, I was at drama school for 4 years and it felt like it was leading to this sort of culmination and to this moment that I was so curious about and I was excited for. And then right before it was about to happen, like it was right before our showcase, we were on our spring break that the world shut down. Luckily we got to do our entire season and we had all the training, but like we were about to do our showcase and sort of be introduced to the industry when everything shut down. But so I graduated in 2020 to, you know, there was no theater happening. Film and TV was all sort of on hold. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm here and I gotta, you know, figure something out. And so a good friend of mine introduced me to this woman that she, worked with, who was looking for a babysitter for her two kids who were at the time one and about to turn one and about to turn five. And I met them, I met, you know, the parents and the kids, and we sort of immediately like clicked. And I fell so in love with these two children. They truly made what would have been just the darkest time, and what it was, you know, at times was like a really dark period of time.
For sure.
Because we were all sort of isolated, and but I was going to this apartment every day looking after these two children who are, I kid you not, the most wonderful two children that exist on the planet. I still see them sometimes, like the youngest, the oldest, who is now seven, is coming to see the play on Saturday, which like I'm not sure it's like fully appropriate for her. She's, you know, she's got a mindset on it. But I would go to this apartment every day, and we would just have the most fun. We would like, we made music videos. Like the oldest, the girl, like loved to sing and sort of was a bit of a performer herself. Yeah, so we would like, I would karaoke track to like a random song, and she put headphones on and she'd just like go for it, and she'd like make up all these lyrics. She like wrote this one called like Girl Power, where she would sort of just like mumble words, and then I put it to the backing track, and then we filmed a music video for it, and we made like I think 5 or 6 music videos. We had to get really creative because there was like, it's not like we could go to museums. We couldn't really like, if like it was that period of time where if you were outside, you had to be in a mask. So we were kind of just chilling in their apartment, getting creative with it. But I honestly don't know what I would have done in that sort of first chunk of time had I not had that survival job to go to every day. It like, it made that period of time just so much more, you know, joyful and just wonderful.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's babysitter making music videos.
I know. I'm a pro.
So lit.
Yeah. Add it to your resume. That's no one.
Yeah, exactly. Your music video director.
Correct. Content creator.
Yeah. We made a shot-for-shot remake of the All Too Well short film. Yeah, like we shot-for-shot remade it. And yeah, he has this like giant Mickey Mouse that's like the size of her. And he was the Jake Gyllenhaal character. Yeah.
Wow, Mickey booked it.
Mickey booked. Mickey always booked. Mickey was in every single one of them.
Oh my God, that's so
iconic.
Good.
Yeah.
That's so iconic. Okay, let's flip it and reverse it. Do you have, from any time in your life, like a negative kind of survival job, one that wasn't so fun?
Yeah, I mean, so I in high school waitress at like a cafe in Australia, and I learned very quickly that is not the career path for me. I am very uncoordinated. My hand-eye coordination is so poor. I have like very little control over my limbs. And so I was dropping stuff constantly. And it just like, you know, like on a first day of a job, you just forget everything you've ever known about like existing. Like I like had been to cafes before, but like, the second I went to take someone's order, I was like, I have no idea how to like speak or be human or like, where do I put these things? And I was like dropping stuff all the time. And like, I remember one time I like brought out a coffee and it had like a hair in it. And I like didn't know what to do. And it was like, I was like 16 or like 15 at the time. And I think I lasted like a month, and I was like, this is so bad for my like morale. Like I just have to get out of here. Facts. And then I like to, you know, babysitting like neighbors and stuff like that.
You like pick the hair out of the coffee. You're like,
I did. I literally, they were like, there's a hair in it. And I like reached over and like pulled it out. And I was
like, is it mine?
Yeah.
Do you want another one?
I was like, do you want another one or is this fine? And they were like, no, another one.
Oh my goodness. That's
yeah. So I can't do anything that requires carrying food or beverages.
Yeah, it's definitely really scary.
Yeah.
I think have nightmares about restaurants.
Oh my God. Yeah. Same. But I think, you know, it's important to do once in your life. I think it's a important, you know, experience to have.
I agree.
But never again.
No, like more compassionate as a human being. Like,
yeah, exactly.
In the service industry for a part of their life. So they understand what it's like because so many people don't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I want to just bombard the conversation. Sorry, Sam. Really quick. What part of Australia are you from?
Sydney.
Oh, isn't that like the capital?
No, the capital is Canberra, which is a city you've probably never heard of.
I never have.
It's like the DC. Like, it's like, that's what it is. But Sydney is like, they say Sydney's the postcard. Melbourne has the personality. They're probably the two cities that, like, you know. Like, and Sydney reminds me a lot of LA in a lot of ways. Like, it's very...
I don't know Adelaide.
Oh, well done. I've been to Adelaide once.
Yeah.
But, wow, look at you.
Jason's pulling that out.
I know. I love Christina Aguilera, and she did a Back to Basics concert in Adelaide. So that's how I know. I was like, I always want to go there.
That's such a bold choice of her to choose. Wait, she just did like one show there?
I think she did a couple, but I think that was the one that was filmed for like the DVD.
That's so random.
The DVD.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, that's a problem.
Yeah. I love to go to Australia, but okay, so you graduated from Juilliard.
Yes, I did. Correct.
Amazing. Congratulations. That's a huge accomplishment. You know, I feel like when people hear Juilliard, they're like, oh my God. So what was that experience like for you, your time there? And can you talk a little bit about how you ended up there as well?
Yeah. I mean, my time there, I think I got really lucky with the timing of everything, of my class being there. My classmates and I get along so well. I mean, I love them. They're the most wonderful group of 18 people. We graduated with 17. And, you know, they're still so much. I mean, they're like family. I mean, people love to say that, but like, they are my family. Like, I ran into one of my classmates the other day, and it was like just seeing like a family member. It was, you know, so lovely. And we had a really lucky run. We had a lot of great opportunities. We had, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis came in and taught our class scene study for a quarter. Which was
for a whole incredible. Quarter.
I was just gonna say crazy.
Yeah. What? Only our class. We had our scene study teacher was going to do a play. And he was looking for something to do. He'd spent a lot of time at Lincoln Center. And he called the school and was like, do you have any, like, can I do anything? Like, can I teach a master class? And they're like, actually, would you like to teach a scene study class for an entire quarter? And he was like, okay. So he did. And he was like, you know, he was amazing, obviously. He's someone who, like, anything he does so fully. So that was incredible. And then, like, the following year, Tony Kushner was workshopping his A Bright Room Called Day Revisited, which then went on to the public. And so he workshopped it with our class. And, like, so we were working with Tony Kushner. And
amazing.
That's so
yeah, Broadway. And, like, our class just got along really well. And, like, every play that we got to do was, the seasons that were chosen for us were so great and so, like, fulfilling and, like, very, like, a lot of them were really female driven, which is wonderful. And I had a great time there. I think, you know, we got really lucky, and with the timing of the pandemic, I think our class kind of for the classes that were there at the time got the luckiest with everything. Like, we got all the training in person. We didn't have to do any Zoom drama school training, which is like near impossible. Like, how do you do movement class in a shoebox apartment over Zoom?
You just
but yeah I mean, I was in the city for a year before I auditioned for Juilliard. I was sort of just auditioning for, like, that's when I did the web series that we both did, where I was a background. I was auditions on backstage and, like, really sort of having a go at it. And then it was at the sort of in the January of that year that I auditioned for Juilliard, and luckily was accepted, which I think was sort of the greatest gift that I've ever been given, was getting into that school. I think it really changed everything. Yeah.
What was your audition process like for Juilliard? In case anyone's listening, they're like, on their vision board.
Right.
Maybe you'll give them some inspiration.
Yeah. I mean, so you go into the school, and you do two monologues, a contemporary and a classical. And sometimes they get you to sing a song. And so I went in and I did the audition and I left. And, like, I sang my song and they gave me one note and then I was out of the room. And so I was in there for, like, maybe, like, 6 minutes. Like, I was not in there for long.
Yeah.
And I, like, left. I was like, I'm not gonna, like, I was, they didn't, you know, the person that was in there before me was in there for, like, 20 minutes. and so then later that day, they make a list of people who get a call back for that evening. And I got a call back that evening. So there were, like, 20 of us, maybe. And I went back and they split the entire faculty into two rooms. And you go in and they tell you which piece of yours that you did that they want to see again. And you do it for the entire faculty, or half the faculty.
Yeah.
And then later that night, they make another cut and they do, another cut. Like, I don't know. They choose people that they want to have stay for an interview. And so at this point it's like 10 o'clock at night. And you've been there since, like, 7:30 in the morning.
Oh my god!
And so I got asked to stay for an interview, and I did the interview. And I don't know. I also, like, they get you to fill out this form that says, it's like, what was your most fulfilling artistic experience? What things do you think you can build on? Like, blah 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 blah. Which we actually ended up being given, like, in our last, like, month of school. They gave us our, like, thing that we filled out. Initial callback, which is really sweet. Anyway, so you finish the interview, and then a week later they invite 50 people from all of the callbacks that happen in New York and in Chicago, and I think they do some in California somewhere. They invite 50 people back, and you spend 3 days at the school, and you just do classes for 3 days, and the faculty walk around and watch. And it's so strange because it's like...
Sounds like Hogwarts. Like,
Juilliard feels like a Hogwarts for, you know, acting and, like, performing arts. It's a very magical place a lot of the time.
Yes.
It's weird to be, like, doing a movement class and you sense, like, the head of the program walk in and suddenly everyone's, like, doing it, like, harder than they've been going the entire time. Yeah, so then you do the weekend, and then they choose the class of 18 from that weekend.
Wow,
that is crazy. It's like it blows my mind every time. I'm like, we had to work auditions the following years. And it's like how I slipped through the cracks in this, I will never understand. Because so much of it is like luck, as it is with everything. You know, I know so many insanely talented people who just like had a bad day, or like were in a room with faculty who like didn't enjoy their work, and like if they were in another room they would have loved their work. And it's just everything has to align, as is with sort of all auditions, you know. So yes, much of it is luck and timing and
wow. That process.
Sorry, that was a really long-winded answer.
No,
that was great.
You know, I think that's our first, you know, time learning about that process on this show. So thank you. Like Jason said, we do have a lot of listeners who are aspiring artists that, you know, this information is helpful.
Yeah,
but that sounds like
crazier than a callback for Broadway, I feel.
No, I mean, it's intense. I guess it's like, it's 4 years. So they want to make sure that they're investing.
Yeah. They're investing to the right people.
Completely, completely.
I mean, they can't have Daniel Day-Lewis teaching us anybody.
I know.
Well, if it's okay, can we dive into The Wanderers and talk about your audition for that? How that happened?
So I auditioned in, I want to say September, and I got sent the play and I read it and I immediately fell in love with it. I was like, this is something, you know, no one was attached yet. Except obviously Barry and Anna, obviously, who wrote it, Barry Edelstein, who directed it. And I read it and I loved it. I was like, this is one of the most beautiful, poetic, but also like plot-driven plays I've ever read. And so for my first audition, they asked me to do the monologue that my character has, which is, it's a lot of text. Like for a first tape, it's like, it was like a six, I think I put it on tape, it was like 6 minutes of just me talking. But it's also the most beautiful piece of text that I've ever had like the honor of speaking. So I was jazzed to be able to do it. I was like, oh my God, what a sort of great, you know, you get so many auditions that are like, you say like three lines.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, sure.
Lucky.
But this, exactly. but this, I got to, you know, work through this language for 6 minutes. Anyway, so I did the tape and I loved it. And I loved the material and I sent it off. And then a week later or so, I heard that I was going to be brought in for an in-person callback with Barry Edelstein, the director, and Anna Ziegler, the playwright. And they added a new scene and also kept the monologue. So I went in and I did it and they gave me like a couple of notes and I left and I was like, great, you know, what it is. I felt really good about my work. I don't know what's going to come of it. I didn't have like a strong gut feeling either way. But I sort of stood by what I did. And then like 2 days later at 7:30 PM, I got an email that they wanted me in at 10 a.m. the next morning with a new scene that had a lot of Yiddish and Hebrew in it. So had to get my mouth around that. So I was at home and I sort of memorized this new scene and went in the next morning and did the scene once and then had a really long, it felt long, it was probably like 10, 15 minutes. That had a long conversation with Barry and Anna and sort of got to know them. And then I left and I was like, I have no idea. I really want this, but I have no clue if it's going to go my way. And then I found out a few days later that I booked it and then got the information that like Katie Holmes was attached. And I found out who was playing my husband, which is Dave Clasco, who is unbelievable. Just one of the most generous, beautiful actors. I mean, I was so excited. I was like, this is the best thing to ever happen to me.
You're like, I'm not available to babysit your kids anymore.
No.
That's so funny.
That's amazing. I love your stories. They're so great. Can you tell us, for people who maybe don't know about the show, why you think audiences and critics are resonating so well with it and why we all need to get a ticket?
I mean, I think the thing that's really beautiful about it to me is that it's this really universal story, but it's told through a really specific lens. It's about a Hasidic couple in South Williamsburg and a secular Jewish couple in sort of more hipster Williamsburg. And the story is cut between the two. But it's about sort of this divine dissatisfaction that we all have, this sort of longing for and curiosity for what we don't have and what else is out there. But it's told through this lens, which, you know, allows for some stunning language, some, you know, the humor is just so great. It's so fun. But yeah, it's about, you know, whether we can be happy with what we have when we have it, which I think is something that everyone can relate to.
100%. 100%. I've been like having that theme in my own life this week. So
yeah,
definitely is relatable.
Yeah.
Well, Jason and I have to get our butts over there and see it. When does it?
Yeah,
when it closes? April 2nd.
Yeah.
Great. So hello, everyone. You have about a month to run and see this play.
Over to the Laura. Yes.
I love how you said it's a universal story through a very specific lens. That's so important. It's so cool. What an honor.
Yeah. Well, it's something that like you might look at from like a surface level and be like, I can't relate to that. You know, if you're like not Jewish or, you know, but it's like, it's such a universal story with such universal themes that I think anyone can really just enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. We're going. Come on, Sam.
Yeah, come on.
Before we go, can you share a little bit about your upcoming film, Paint, which I watched the trailer last night.
Pardon?
We both like watched the trailer. It looks so good.
This film that I shot during, I think it was 2021. I was actually at my babysitting job. I booked it sort of, I think it was like 9 months out of school, or maybe it was less. But I was at the house of these kids when I got a text from my agent's assistant. She was like, can you hop on a call with the whole team? And I just had my call back like a couple of days earlier. And I was like, with these kids. And I was like, guys, I think I know what this means. I think I might have gotten this movie.
To the kids. But the kids are like, cool.
Like,
okay.
We have a music video to shoot. Come on.
Yeah.
Right, but hold on. We've got our filming schedule. So yeah.
No, we don't have time about this movie.
Yeah. So we shot this movie. 2 years ago now. And it's called Paint. It's about a painter who hosts a show on PBS, and it's about sort of the world of the studio and the people there and the sort of love triangles and the, you know, he a younger painter comes in and sort of takes his time slot and fun ensues.
Ooh.
Yeah, but it's with Owen Wilson is playing a character called Carl Nagel, who has a resemblance to Bob Ross.
Yeah.
And it's just like it's a fun, silly, quirky comedy, which is coming out with IFC. It'll be playing in movie theaters across the country starting April 7th.
Wow, one project ends and then the other one comes out.
Crazy. It's crazy timing. It's really it's wild.
Wow. You're so cool.
I know.
I want to be as cool as Lucy when I grow up. This has been amazing. So we just have one or two more questions. And then I don't know if you've been
briefed. I love to chat.
Big surprise. We always end the show with a game because Jason and I love to have fun and laugh.
Oh my God.
And so typically we just like to play a fun game. So before we jump into the game, do you have, I mean, your career already is like amazing and you've been doing these amazing projects working with incredible artists, but do you have a dream collaboration of someone you want to work with or a dream role that you are like, I have to be Sally Bowles? I don't know.
Oh my God. Sally Bowles, absolutely. Not Sally Bowles. I don't know. I think I've been so lucky in my career so far that I have exclusively worked with wonderful people. Like I'm yet to interact with someone that I'm not like bowled over by their like kindness and generosity. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I feel really fortunate because I've worked with some people who are very sort of recognizable and could be in the position to in their careers where they like might not be kind, but they are just the kindest people. Like Owen Wilson is so kind and funny and generous and made me feel so, you know, comfortable on set and sort of made me feel like I already knew what I was doing, even though like it was my first day on a professional film set ever. Katie Holmes is one of the kindest people point blank that I've ever met. She is so generous and so sweet and so funny. She's like one of the funniest people I know. Sarah Cooper is the same.
I stand here. Oh my God.
Yeah. It's like, it's Michaela Watkins in Paint and Wendy McClendon Covey, Stephen Root. Like everyone is like Sierra Renee, everyone. It's like, I feel so lucky, you know, have only worked with great people. So I think my like dream collaboration would just be more really nice people who enjoy the work and who sort of relatable as on like a human level. Yeah, I think that would be, you know, just the dream
going. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. In terms of dream roles, I don't know. I mean, like I did a Nina monologue from The Seagull to get into Juilliard.
Yes.
And so like, I think I would, I love Chekhov.
I would say love Chekhov.
I love Masha. Chekhov. Anton himself. I love him. I would love to play Nina. I would love to play Nina professionally. Or like Sonia from Uncle Vanya. I did that at school. And I would love to do that. I mean, those plays, I think you could dive. Like you can when you read and like work on those plays, you can understand why those actors spent their entire lives just like rotating through those different, like the different characters in those four plays. There's just so much there.
So much life, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, maybe something from Chekhov. Well, like, you know, something that hasn't been written yet. Like, you know.
Hey, Three Sisters, hear some rumors that Three Sisters is coming, a professional production coming soon, I heard. Ooh. Through some rumors. Okay. So sign her up.
Yeah.
And then do you feel, what do you want to bring to the industry as a woman? And like, what do you, like, why do you enjoy being a woman in this industry? And what do you want to bring to like make change or to, what's your message? Was that a question? Did I make any sense just then?
No, you did. No, you actually
did. Yeah.
I moved this week, so my head is mush. So whatever you can take from that question.
I've been rambling for like 30 minutes now. So
I love it though.
Something that I have learned from Katie is that women need to support women and like lift up other women, and there's room enough for all of us, and like one person's win is not another woman's loss. And she has, since I met her in December, become such a like guiding light for me and like mentor and friend, and you know, where she could so easily not be. She's sort of really been preaching, not in like a preachy way, but like sort of like, you know, that women need to have each other's back in this industry. That is like the most important thing. And whenever there's an opportunity to help out another woman or to lift her up, we have to do it. Because, you know, people want or will try to pit us against each other. And if we're the ones saying like, no, hold on a second, I don't want to do that. We're the ones with the power in that situation.
Completely. Thank you.
I love that.
Thanks for answering.
Went on some random, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
That warms my heart that Katie Holmes is preaching that way.
Preaching.
Right?
She's a queen.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was such a Dawson's Creek fan growing up.
So oh my God, so happy.
Single frame of Dawson's Creek. I feel like I need to go back and like binge it after the show.
Yeah. So then I actually don't think I have either. I don't know.
Apparently, like I'm a little bit older than you too. Thing. So
you're not that much older than me. Like by like a hair.
That was a hair from a coffee.
Exactly. A hair from the coffee pot.
You still want it? Or do you want me to make another one?
You still want it. That's the best. You still want
it. You know, if they'd been like, yeah, we'll take it, I would be like, you know, that's a bit.
You're like, I cleaned my hair today, so it's definitely clean.
Yeah, it's clean.
Yeah.
So it's shampooed.
Shampooed. Okay. Oh my gosh, this was amazing. I'm so glad that you were able to chat with us today. And everyone listening,
so fun.
Go see this play and then also check out Paints in the theaters.
I know.
April 7th.
How cool to like see a movie in a theater.
How cool. Now that we're able to again. But before we go, we did say we love to play a game. Yeah. So for full transparency, so nobody comes at us, this game was stolen directly from Hoda and Jenna. Directly from.
Great.
We love Hoda and Jenna. And I was like, we have to play this game. So since you're in this upcoming film with Owen Wilson, and he is in one of the all-time best rom-coms ever, Wedding Crashers. Okay. So we're going to read different synopsises from rom-coms. And you're going to tell us if it's a real actual rom-com that you can watch or one that's made up.
Oh my god, okay. I'm so excited. I love a rom-com. I'm a Nora Ephron at like that. She is my number one. She would be my dream collaboration.
See?
Actually, you know,
if all that.
Yeah.
All right, let's manifest it. We always manifest on this show. Okay, so this is called Real Rom-Com or Made Up.
Real good okay, game. I'm ready.
Jason, you want to kick it off?
Sure. Okay. A hot shot. Excuse me. My voice is like cracking. Excuse me. Okay. A hot shot book editor facing deportation to Canada forces her younger male assistant to marry her for a green card. During a trip to visit his family and sub a lie, they actually fall in love. Real com or made up com?
It's real. It's The Proposal starring Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Whoa! Ding, ding, ding.
I know it.
Ding, ding.
We're coming in hot with the game.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Hit me again. Another one.
Number two. In this New York City-inspired rom-com, a newly divorced bartender falls in love with her hotshot regular that works in finance and is engaged. After his engagement party at the bar turns into complete chaos, the bartender lends a shoulder to cry on for her finance regular, and they live happily ever after. You don't think that's real?
I don't think it's real.
Ding, ding, ding.
Is it right? Am I right?
Yeah.
That sounds interesting. That sounds like an interesting premise.
Let's write it.
Premise. You didn't fully sell me with the elevator pitch, so I didn't
know. I know. I stumbled over the words and threw it away. Okay. Go ahead, Jay. Number three.
Okay. Number three. This Ziggy's being.
Ziggy's dog Ziggy's so cute. Here he comes. He always makes cameos. Look at him.
Oh, Ziggy.
He's being so annoying. Okay. He's so cute. All right. Can he be good? Okay, cool. Ready? Mm-hmm. This rom-com considers what happens when single women start acting more like the men they date. Instead of focusing on one romance, we get to follow multiple couples through their romance journey. Period.
I don't know.
You want to phone a friend?
I'm okay. Wait, I'm leaning towards it's not real. It's not a movie I've ever seen. The only one I could think that it could possibly be, which is a movie I haven't seen, is that movie How to Be Single with Dakota Johnson and Rebel Wilson.
Oh.
But I don't think it's real. I'm gonna say. Oh, okay, wait, hold on a second. There's a Nancy Meyers movie called What Women Want.
Actually, it's close. Do you want to go with that?
Okay, yeah, okay, give me the answer. I'm gonna say real.
I'm gonna give you a ding, ding, ding for that.
It is real.
That's Think Like a Man. That's real.
Never
okay.
heard of
it. I'm going to have to watch it now.
Yeah. Which one? Who's in that one, Sam?
You know, I have this whole article up and now I've lost it. I have no idea. No idea.
Okay.
I'll can't pull it out of my head that quick. Sorry. Okay, next.
I'm going to Google it.
Google it, Jay, and I'll do the next. This rom-com follows a neurotic podcast host who's happy to go on Tinder dates and content to not have a serious relationship. That all changes when he meets an equally detached lawyer who likes to play the field. Repeatedly drawn to each other, both men begin to show their vulnerable sides as their undeniable attraction turns into something resembling a commitment.
Ooh. Okay.
I love this game. I just want to let
yeah, everyone. I'm like taking this really seriously. Like, this is really important to me. Okay. Is it the new Billy Eichner movie that just came out?
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes! Okay!
But you're 4 for 4.
God, all right.
4 for 4. What do we have? One more and a bonus? One more and a bonus.
Yeah. Okay, the one before this, Think Like a Man, stars Kevin Hart and Regina Hall.
Yes.
And Taraji P. Henson and Grab Your Union.
Wow. Okay. Add it to the list.
Add it to the list. All right, Jay. Take the next one.
Okay. When a big city girl returns to her small suburban hometown for the holidays, she finds a newcomer has moved to the town to open a floral shop that directly competes with her family's flower shop that's been in business for over 50 years. After they compete to see who can sell the most Christmas trees, they realize that joining forces in more than one way is the way to go.
I feel like that's every Hallmark movie.
I know.
So like, yes, real. Like that, I don't know. I'm not a big Hallmark movie humor, but that sounds like that is if that's not real, I'm sure there is some plot that is almost exactly the same as that.
It's not real to our knowledge.
No, it is real. It has to be.
I mean, we can write it.
It sounds real. It sounds real.
You know.
Listen, that came from my brain because my parents owned a flower shop for years. And they used to like compete for like Christmas trees with the other one. So it could be real on Hallmark. And
then, yeah, I'm sure it's real somewhere on Hallmark. So let's
get me a point. Yeah, we'll write it. Survival Jobs will write and produce this and you can star in it. Well, done.
Sign me up. I'm ready. And then we'll sell it to Hallmark.
Okay, so you can redeem yourself with the bonus. We have a bonus.
Myself. Honey, I don't have anything to redeem.
For the last one you got wrong. Oh my
I'm
God,
on fire here.
I said that to Crystal Joy Brown too in her episode and she was like, redeem? That's rude. What? Okay, the bonus.
Okay.
This rom-com, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This rom-com is the story of a small town waitress who begins an affair with her OBGYN after she accidentally becomes pregnant by her no good husband. Real rom-com or made up?
Real as waitress.
Yes.
Okay. Redeemed.
Redeemed. 100%. You brought it back with a bonus. Wow. I love that game. Thank you, Hoda and Jenna.
So good. Thank I you almost want to keep show. Playing it with my friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun.
Oh my God. So fun.
So fun.
I love that.
Yeah. I hope the Today Show doesn't sue us, but maybe
they can.
We'll go down together.
Yeah. We'll all go on the Today Show and visit Hoda and Jenna.
Yeah.
Lucy, you're amazing. Thank you so much for joining
you
us.
You guys are amazing.
Thank Before you. We go, iconic.
You are iconic. Before we go, can you tell all of the listeners where they can follow you on social media and keep up with what's going on?
Yeah, my Instagram is at Lucy Freya, F-R-E-Y-E-R. And that is the only social media I have. I don't have a TikTok. I'm not, you know. And The Wanderers is playing at Roundabout at the Laura Pell Theater through April 2nd. And Paint will be in theaters across the country starting April 7th.
Yes. And we will so promote exciting. The shit out of it on this.
Yes, absolutely.
Jason, you want to take our handles?
Hi, Helen. Sure. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Survival Jobs Pod. on Facebook at Survival Jobs, a podcast. Feel free to send us an email if you want to give us some feedback and check in with us at survivaljobspod@gmail.com. Lastly, I'm Jason A. Coombs on Instagram, and that's Sammy Toots.
Hey.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Jason, you killed the handles. I'm so proud of you.
Whew, so nervous.
Killed it. 65 episodes later, and you're killing it. I love you.
Thank you.
Lucy,
thank you.
We will be at that show, and we will let you know.
Please.
Congratulations on all the things, and thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Nice to meet you guys.
You too. You too. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.